God's attributes were manifested to him.
Why must you not reject truth? Truth is the determinant of righteousness and holiness. Truth matters. No matter how sincere you are, you're worshiping God. If it is not backed up with truth, forget it. It will not profit you anything. That's why I say, no matter how sincere you are, you reject truth, you have rejected righteousness. You don't use your conscience to rate your work with God. You use the truth. So in as much as you are trying your best to be a sincere believer, let your sincerity go with truth so that you can maintain heavenly standards. It doesn't stop there. Standard number two, truth. The scriptures we read earlier in Joshua 24 verse 14 and 1 Corinthians 5, 8. Let's have it again. Truth. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in a conjunction and in truth. Amen. Let's also sit in 1 Corinthians 5, 8 so that in the mouth of two or three, every matter will be established. 1 Corinthians 5, 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As important and necessary as sincerity is not enough. Praise the living God. As necessary and vital as sincerity is not enough. Sincerity must go with truth. Praise the Lord. In the story of Cain and Abel that we read earlier, there's only one good thing I see about Cain. There's only one good thing I see about him. Cain was very sincere. Because the Bible said he said he took of the fruit of the ground. That means he worshipped God. He was sincere. But where Cain missed it was that he did not maintain the standard of truth. Praise the Lord. Cain was very sincere, but he did not maintain the standard of truth. And this is where so many people miss it. This is where so many Christians fail. You can be very sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. Praise the Lord. You can be very, very sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. As much as God requires sincerity from every one of us, sincerity must be backed up with truth. Sincerity on its own cannot profit you. Sincerity must be backed up with truth. Hallelujah. Cain approached God. Cain worshipped God. Cain was not a hypocrite in his worshipping God. The problem was he worshipped God in error. He worshipped God without truth. That was why God went back to talk to him. If Cain was not sincere, God will not go back and talk to him, because he will not even answer him. But the Lord went back and said, I see you. I see sincerity. I see you. I see you are worshipping me. But you are not worshipping me according to truth. Somebody might be asking, what is truth? John 17 verse 17. As necessary as sincerity is, your sincerity without truth will never profit you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Praise God. And this is what separates majority of us sitting here today from those in the denomination. Truth. Are you telling me that the person that wears apron from sorrow to joy, it is over, heaven at last, from morning to night, and he's doing evangelism, rural rugged, all around Lagos, are you telling me he is not sincere? We need chosen kind of evangelists in Bride Assembly. Have you seen them evangelizing? Let them be in a bus. They've taken over that bus. Very, very sincere and zealous. But what? The same person that is sincerely running up and down serving God. Some of them even not in bride assembly where you want to do service for God and you still be asking church for money. Now you want to serve God though, and you still be asking church for money. These people do service for God even to their own last couple. Sincerity is 100%. You see some people sleeping on the mountain, spending 40 days looking for God. As sincere as sincerity could be. But before that person, bring common water baptism. Water baptism is the name of Jesus. I beg. Please hold your own. And then some people will say, it doesn't matter. Truth matters. No matter how sincere you are, you're worshiping God. If it is not backed up with truth, forget it. It will not profit you anything. It will not profit you anything. Let's be very, very frank. You must be practical in following God. You must understand that God is a God of intentions. God doesn't just do anything. He's not man. For instance, you can be driving home now, a man with his family. You did not plan, no. You just say, honey, let's branch this eatery and buy something. God does not work like that. God has plans. God has programs. God has agenda. He's a God of purpose and intention. So when God comes and tells you, this is how I want you to build the ark, Noah, build it this way. Build it this way. Let it be 30 cubits long. Let it be 300 cubits long. You can't go and say, Father God, I have PhD in architecture. I have PhD in building construction. I disagree with you. If you build it this way, it will be better. Do you know more than God? Do you know why he has said that water baptism should be in the name of Jesus? So you are sincere in serving him, but you reject his truth. That sincerity cannot profit you anything. Praise God. We see a lot of women ministers, women pastors, very sincere. But you open the truth and tell them, according to truth, God's word is truth. According to truth, a woman should not pastor a church. They say, yeah. And I've seen such in this church. A sister will be with us, and of a sudden we'll go and open ministry. And then there are members that will be sitting in the church. Because I've seen her sincerity. We're saying, she's just doing God a service now. There's nothing wrong in it. No matter how sincere you are wrong. You are. No matter how sincere the prophet that is going to pastor a church is, he is wrong. Because it's not according to truth. No matter the voice you hear. That's it. Cain was very sincere. But where he missed it was in rejecting truth. Praise God. Let me go deeper a little bit. Truth. Why must you not reject truth? Truth is the determinant of righteousness and holiness. We've seen in John 17:17 that sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is the determinant of righteousness and holiness. And in every generation, there is a truth for that generation. Praise God. I don't know. Am I communicating? Say amen. In every generation, there's a truth for that generation. I cannot begin to practice what the Jews were practicing in the day of Moses. I cannot begin to bring ram and shed blood and say it's Passover, because it's no longer the truth for my generation. Praise God. No matter how sincere I am, and I'm saying it's Passover time. Go and bring a ram. Go and bring a goat. Let's slaughter it. No matter how sincere I am not right. Because that is not the truth for my generation. The blood of Jesus has been shed. That is now my own sacrificial lamb. Hallelujah. Are you getting a picture of what truth is? Praise God. As Brother Brown put it, Moses could not come with the message of Noah's generation. Neither could the apostles come with the message of Moses' age. No. Truth determines righteousness and holiness. That's why we say, no matter how sincere you are, you reject truth, you have rejected righteousness. Then tell me, how can such a person go to heaven? Hallelujah. This message, I want it to be a very personal message to everybody listening to me. Let it check you. Let it be as personal as possible. The standard of sincerity. Yes. What about the standard of truth? God is not looking, my own heart, my conscience is clean, my conscience is clean. The Bible says God is greater than your heart. He's greater than your conscience. You don't use your conscience to rate your work with God. You use the truth. Amen. So in as much as you are trying your best to be a sincere believer, let your sincerity go with truth so that you can maintain heavenly standards. Praise God. Truth is necessary. And that is exactly why Satan fights truth. What is the opposite of truth? The opposite of truth is actually lie, grammar. But do you know how the Bible describes the opposite of truth? Who can help me? There's a word that the Bible used to describe the opposite of truth. Okay, Brother Nelson wants to help me. There's a word that the Bible used to describe the opposite of truth. And I want to tell you why the Bible used such language. Brother Nelson, sir.
It's error.
God bless you, sir. According to the Bible, the opposite of truth is error. Why is it so? Error is lies in truth's clothing. Error is lies camouflaging as truth. Praise God. Are you seeing it? If I want to deceive you, I'll not come and tell you, okay, Jesus is not true. You already know Jesus is true. But if I truly want to deceive you, I will come with another Jesus. Praise God. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Why do you think the Antichrist is coming from the Christian faith? Anti is supposed to be against Christ. That's the meaning. But the Antichrist is carrying a Bible. And it's coming from this Christian fold. Because error is lie camouflaging as truth. So it comes as truth. It comes as truth. You think it is truth, but it's actually lie in truth's clothing. Satan fights truth. See, yeah, praise God. Satan fights the truth more than anything. That's the first tactic he used in the Garden of Eden. As God said, no, you shall not surely. Because he knows that when you depart from the truth, you have departed from God. Praise God. So you can see why there's so many contention against this end time message we preach. It's just the work of Satan. Truth is what brings righteousness and is what brings holiness. So Satan knows that if he can take away the truth from you, he has taken away your connection to God. Brother and sister, if you truly want to go to heaven, maintain the standard of sincerity and maintain the standard of truth. Make sure that you maintain the standard of truth. Let's move on. Standard number 3. Diligence. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Praise the Lord. My praise God is louder than everybody's hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The purpose of this message is to let you know that we can't approach God anyhow and we can't go to heaven anyhow. God has standards. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that... God is not a rewarder of them that seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently... That's a verb, an action word. Diligently seek him. Brother and sister, this is the generation of lazy bone Christianity. This is a generation where there is no more diligence in serving God. A brother can go to the mountain and go to camp so that his container will be released, so that we get a new job, so that he will even get an anointing, so that there will be a breakthrough. A sister can lock herself indoors for 7 days so that she will get married. But when it comes to seeking God for who God is, we don't do it. How many of us in this week that passed, how many of us had a personal Bible study? You're on your way to the glory land, Christian brother, Christian sister. How many of us on your own, I'm not saying you are watching Bright TV or you went somewhere and you are preaching. I mean you had Bible study. I'm not saying you want to pray and you open your Bible and you quote Psalm 91. You go Psalm 27 and you begin to pray with it. I mean that you are seeking God out of diligence. How many of us? In your mind now, you're already giving excuses. I was busy now from morning to night. I went to work now. See traffic that met me. But that busyness will not stop you from doing other things. But when it comes to seeking God for who God is, the Christians of this Laodicea church age are very lazy. There's no diligence in our lives at all. You can fast for family deliverance. You can fast for somebody that is holding you, holding your family to die. But to have a retreat where you go and seek God because you want to know Him is very, very scarce. Do you know why we will keep on having problems? Family problems, ancestral spirits, demon wife, curse, evil arrow. God knows that if He doesn't allow the enemies to keep attacking us, most of us will not even be praying. Most of us will not even seek Him. So even that simple prayer of our Father, fight my battle, at least you are talking to Him. So He will make sure He engineers the enemy to attack you very well. Did not the Bible say, but it says if a man's way pleases the Lord, He maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. But when you are not seeking God, and God knows that if you are at peace, you will even forget about Him totally. So He must make sure that those enemies are there to wake you up. From the beginning of this year to this time, how many chapters of the Bible have you read, brother? You say it doesn't matter. It matters. You say it's grace. Grace is not license to misbehave. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Let's read it. So for you to understand what grace is truly. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Listen to the next statement. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That you have grace does not mean you can fold your hands and relax. Grace is to produce works in you. That's the essence of grace. So everything today is grace, 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 grace. Then Christians are completely lazy when it comes to approaching God, going to heaven, maintaining heavenly standards, seeking God for who God is. How many times do you even sit down and pray, Father, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you more. Lord, you know, pray spiritual prayers, heavenly things. Not any power holding me. Not further and die. Not my blessing. And no. Gentiles also pray like that. Diligence is missing in the lives of many Christians today. Diligence. We are very diligent. Very, very. And if you truly want to go to heaven, the standard of diligence must be maintained. Praise the Lord. He's not the rewarder of them that seek Him. That is not what Hebrews 11, 6 says. He says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. He's qualified. You are seeking Him yet, but diligently. I think that's even an adjective. Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. You can't say you're going to heaven and you have this non-violent, non-challenged attitude towards spiritual things. No. That's why the Bible describes the Christian faith as a war front. Second Timothy 2, Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have time today to watch all comedy skits. You see, Christian, you watch comedy skits from morning to night. There are even some Christians that are watching Big Brother Nigeria. If you are watching Big Brother Nigeria, yeah, wave your hand. You have the time to watch this, watch that. A Christian will sit down comfortably. First half, 45 minutes. Half time, 10 minutes. Second half, 45 minutes. That's 100 minutes. Extra time. Extra time is how many minutes? 15 minutes, Abi. And that same Christian cannot spend 1 hour studying the Bible. You are not ready for heaven. Forget it. You are not ready for heaven. You download a man of YouTube this thing and you're laughing. Comedy skits, you have the time for that. But no time to diligently seek him. There must be diligence if you want to go to heaven. The fourth standard we must maintain is the standard of separation. Separation. God has always been in the business of separating his children from those that are not his children. He has always been in the business of separating his children from... There must be separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters, there must be separation. There must be separation. The world is not the church, and the church is not the world. A Christian is different from a non-Christian. A believer is different from an unbeliever. And these differences are evidently seen. Since you became a Christian, if you've never heard the testimony from somebody that what has happened to you, you don't change, oh, something is wrong, go and look inwardly, take a retreat. There must be separation. There must be separation. You can't meet with Christ and remain the same. So there are evidences clearly seen in the life of somebody that has met with Christ. And these evidences bring about separation. You say you have tasted divinity. Then we must see it so that there will be a difference between somebody that has not tasted what you have from you. Separation. You cannot say you're in your working place or your business place and every nonsense unbelievers are doing, you're a party to it. They come together and tell lies and, you know, do all manner of fraudulent things, and you, a Christian, you're a part of it. You're laughing. You might not talk, but you're laughing with them. You are not yet separate. You are not yet separate. There must be separation. It even goes up to our dressing. There's a difference between a Christian dressing and a non-Christian dressing. There must be separation. I must be able to look at you and say you are different from others. And you must be able to look at me and say I'm different from others. If you're in a new place, somebody must be able to say you are separate from us. You are different from us. And separation is actually the meaning of holiness. Holiness actually means separation. There must be separation. Everything doesn't go in a Christian life. Everything doesn't go. You must be separate from the world. It's a condition, a conditional promise. He says, be ye separate, and then I will receive you. In other words, if you are not separate, he's not going to receive you. This is the day where we combine everything and you bring your tradition, you merge it with Christianity, and you say you are serving God. You bring worldliness and you merge it with Christianity and you say you are serving God. Yesterday, when I woke up after the vigil, I was watching a Christian channel, Dove TV. And there was this group of musicians singing. Just boys, four of them, three backups and the leader. See their hairstyle. No difference between their hairstyle and that of a worldly musician. Praise God. And then what pained me most is that all the dancing steps that are reigning in the world today, those people were supposedly on the altar and they were doing it laughing, and you know, then I heard "Bay Body for Jesus" in the church. There must be separation. There must be separation. This was what God was trying to do when he told Abraham, every male child must be circumcised. He wanted the family of Abraham to be different from the families of, from every other family that is on earth. There must be separation in the life of a Christian. It's a standard that we must maintain if we want to go to heaven. Praise God. Finally, the standard of sacrifice. The standard of sacrifice. All these things I'm listing out, they themselves are topics on their own. But I just want to pass a message. Sacrifice. Romans 12 verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. You want to go to heaven, these standards must be maintained in your life. Sincerity, truth, diligence, separation, and sacrifice. And he said to them all, if any man, any woman will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sacrifice is not negotiable for a Christian. Sacrifice is necessary. Psalm 50 verse 5 says, gather together my saints unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Brother, sister, sacrifice is necessary. A pastor has taken that teaching, living by sacrifice, during this lockdown period. A very interesting message. I advise you to get it and listen to it. It is non-negotiable. There must be evidence is clearly seen of things you have sacrificed or you are sacrificing in the course of following Christ. If you are following Christ and there is nothing you can show as an evidence of sacrifice, your followership of Christ is very questionable. There must be sacrifice. The sacrifice could be finances, could be time, could even be your life. When you say we've picked up the cross, in this church we've pointed to you that the cross we believe in is the old rugged cross, not the cross that are your orisaja for you to hang, blink blink, as if it's 50 cents, blink blink cross that you hang as a chain. That is not the cross we believe in. The cross that we preach is a symbol of sacrifice. The flesh must be sacrificed. Self must be sacrificed. Your time. See, a lot of Christians say, I don't believe a Christian should be idle. You are okay, you are believing God for a job and you are still waiting for the job. You submitted your CV. I don't believe you should be idle. What stops you from coming to the church as a sacrifice to be cleaning the church? What stops you from coming to the church as a sacrifice to make yourself an intercessor? Then a Christian, God will bless you. First Jeep, second Jeep, third Jeep. Then you have a fleet of cars and you are still buying more. A Christian. God gives you wealth so that they can be used for kingdom advancement. That is the sacrifice. Sacrifice is, it's a must if you will ever follow God. The marks of Jesus, Apostle Paul said, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The marks was not just, it's a life of sacrifice that he has lived. Show me your cross. Let me see your cross. Are you not following Jesus? He said, if you follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Brother Samuel, where's your cross? You left it at home. Your cross is at home. It is not a physical cross. It's a life of sacrifice. I don't know. This cannot be overemphasized. These standards, sincerity, truth, diligence, separation, and sacrifice, we play with them. We are not serious about them today. I'm telling you, the rapture will take place, and a lot of members of Bride Assembly, except to change, will not go. I say it out of brotherly love. I'm not going to flatter you. I need to be sincere with you if I want you to go. Common Christian dressing. A lot of sisters are still. Why? What is the need for the insincerity? I don't know. When we're in the world, let's be sincere. When we're in the world, there's how you see a woman and you love the way she dress. And now you're a Christian. Something has happened to you. You are no longer a fornicator. And then a Christian sister is still dressing that way. Will you really be comfortable? You tell Christian sisters today, cover up. The Bible says a Christian woman must dress in sobriety, modesty, and shamefacedness. And we argue, we play it down as if it doesn't matter. It will matter at the last day. It will matter at the last day. Everything you do will matter at the last day. The way you offer your service in the house of God will matter at the last day. This message is to do two things. It's to exhort you who might have been joking on serious with his Christian faith. And it's also to encourage you. Because when somebody wants to serve God and is trying his best, the most painful thing is to see fellow believers, so-called, beginning to pull you down. Your own is too much. Now let you be Christian. Are you the only one? Now let you be this. Brother, sister, your destinations might be different. Leave them and continue your own. Every man will give account of himself. There are some people that we will sing together, we will dance together and come and drop offering together, and they will not be there. They will not be. It is a fact. I'm not cursing anybody. I'm telling you, based on the authority of God's word, a lot of people will not go to heaven. You think I'm foolish? When I was in the world, as a young boy, a teenager, the only person that knows my past is not even here today. I was an area father. I'm talking of as a teenager. The people that were around me were people I was way younger than. And we enjoyed the world. You're in the world. You're in Christ. There's a big difference. You don't joke about your walk with God, about your going to heaven. You don't joke about it. And you don't look at anybody. It is an estate of, if you won't go, don't hinder me. Because there are a lot of people in the church that are not going. I'm still saying it. You might say, why am I saying it? You think all of us believe the same thing? It's not all of us sitting there that believe the same thing. No. It's not all of us that clap hands anytime pastor say praise the Lord in this church that believe the same thing. But you that believe the truth that is coming from this pulpit, hold on to it. Hold on to it. For many are called, but few are chosen. Brethren, in closing, the message is, God has standards. Heaven has standards. And if you truly want to go, you must continue to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You say you are saved. Let us see the evidences of a saved man, of a saved woman. Anything below the standard of God, we never go to heaven. Saul and David, God gave a standard. Saul tried, but he failed in 1%. And because of that, he was rejected. May you not be rejected in heaven in Jesus' name. Can we bow down our heads and sing this song? Please, it's not time to clap. It's time to look inwardly. And I want you to begin to talk to God sincerely. Father, help me.
Come and take your place.
Somebody, you know where you are. Truly, if the Lord Jesus should come for you today, there's no film trick. Will you go with him? Will you go with him? Lord, give me grace. Lord, I have not attained unto this standard. Father, help me. Lord, I have not attained to this standard. Help me. I want to maintain every standard. I want your will to be done in my life as it is in heaven. Father, I want to attain unto heavenly standards.
Somebody talk. Come and take your place. Come and